Romans chapter 13, and we'll start with verse 11. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly, as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for who you are. You are the one true living God. And you alone are worthy of all we got. Our praise, our worship, our service, our time, our talents, our treasures. Father God, we are grateful for the love you have for us. And we want to love you back the way you deserve. Father, I thank you for the time that we can get together and freely worship you and study your word, the very words of God. What a luxury to have the very words of God in our hands. Father, I pray that your spirit will convict us today. Convict us of our sins. Teach us your word today so that we could be more like Christ. So that we could be more obedient to you. Father God, we are yours. And this is your time. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Born February 11th, 1847, seventh child of seven kids. Not much formal education. He learned his reading, writing, arithmetic from his mother. At age 16, he went off to get a full-time job as a telegrapher. At age 21, he got his first patent for an invention, electronic voting machine. At age 22, he got another patent for a universal stock printer. He went on to invent hundreds and hundreds of things, even the phonograph, record player. He's best known for one invention, though, the invention of the light bulb. Thomas Alva Edison. He was a hero of mine growing up. I wrote a paper on him in third grade, and it changed my life. At third grade. Saw the light. Saw the light, absolutely. But that's when I wanted to become an engineer, after I wrote the paper. What an amazing guy. Thomas Edison, inventor of the light bulb. Not the light, but the light bulb. Light itself is fascinating. Hard to understand how it works. All those electromagnetic waves propagating at various frequencies, burst of energy, photon burst of energies, light waves that reflect back from things, various light waves result in the various colors of the spectrum that we see. Fascinating. And Edison harnessed that light in the light bulb. We may not understand how light works, a whole lot about light, but we know one thing. We understand this, that light exposes darkness. I can comprehend that. I turn the light switch on at home and the room is not dark anymore. That I know. In our text this morning, there's a great contrast, a vivid contrast between light and dark. So let's look at our text this morning. We'll pick up where we left off last time, in the middle of verse 12. Therefore, the night is almost gone and the day is near, therefore, in light of that, in light of the fact that the day is near. There's some instructions for us. Let us do what? Let us lay aside the deeds of darkness. What are the deeds of darkness? Sin. Lay aside sin. The urgency of living a transformed life, of waking up and putting into practice righteousness, leads us to lay aside sin. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness. Let us lay aside sin. Laying aside requires action on our part. We have to do the laying aside. I can't do it for you. No one else can do it for you. I pray for you to lay aside sin. I pray for myself to lay aside sin. We all struggle with sin, don't we? Sin's attractive. Sin feels good, at least for a while. Hebrews 11:15 refers to it as the passing pleasures of sin. It's pleasurable, but it passes. It feels good for a moment, and then we live with the consequences. And dealing with sin is our responsibility. We are the ones to lay it aside. It's our responsibility. Hebrews 12, chapter 1, says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run the race, run with endurance, the race that is set before us. We are to lay aside the sin which so easily entangles us. Newsflash, we all struggle with sin. We all get easily entangled in sin. And it's my job to lay aside the sin that I struggle with. And it's your job to lay aside the sin that you struggle with. As new believers, we're new creatures in Christ. When we come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we're truly born-again Christians. All the past is gone. New creatures in Christ. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit, man, we have all kind of surface level sins that we're convicted of and that we lay aside. And as we grow in Christ, the job of the Holy Spirit is to continue to drill in our hearts, convict us of more sin. Okay, Chip, you've gotten rid of all the surface sins, but there is still at least one sin you're still struggling with. Give it up. Let go of it. And as we grow in Christ, the Spirit of God convicts us, drills deep in our hearts to all the different corners, all those areas we hang on to. And our job as we grow, as we put into practice righteousness, as we apply righteousness, as we become holy as He is holy, as we go through the process of sanctification, is to let go of that sin, to lay it aside. And man, I deal with one, but it ain't over. And the Holy Spirit keeps convicting and keeps drilling deeper. And there's another one. Chip, you got to deal with this one now. You been there? Hopefully you are there. If the Holy Spirit's not convicting you of sin, if you're not in the process of laying aside sin, you may not have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Chip, let go of that sin. Lay it aside. Sometimes we go back and we grab hold of one we already let go of, didn't we? The whole process of becoming like Christ is sinning less and obeying more. And our text is telling us this morning, as we grow in Christ, as we live a transformed life in Christ, our desire to please God will grow beyond our desire to please ourselves. Did you get that? Our desire to please God grows beyond our desire to please ourselves. Our love for God outweighs our love for sin. That's spiritual maturity. That's growing in Christ. Our love for God outweighs our love for sin. The passing pleasures of sin. Sin is attractive. That's why we're tempted. Man, if sin wasn't attractive, temptation wouldn't be a big deal, would it? But we love God more. We learn to love God more, and we lay aside sin, deeds of darkness, one sin at a time. What else do we do as we grow, as we apply righteousness, as we practice righteousness? Look at our text. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and do what? Put on. More action on our part. Putting something on. We get it. We put it on. Nobody can do it for us. I'm praying for you that you'll put it on. I want you to put it on. God expects us to put it on. What do we put on? What does it say? And we put on the armor. What's armor? Protection. That's right. Armor is protection. We put on protection. And what is the protection according to the text? Light. We put on the armor of light. We put on the protection of light. How does light protect? Ask any 3-year-old child trying to go to sleep in a big, black, dark room at night. And they'll tell you how light protects. We have night lights, floodlights, headlights, emergency lights, flashlights. Why? Because lights protect. Light exposes what's in the dark. Light shows a little kid that it's not a monster in their room. It's just the shadow of a stuffed animal or a shadow from a coat hung up. Light exposes darkness. Light protects. Light does away with darkness. It's incompatible, aren't they? Can't have light and dark in the same spot. It's impossible. Light protects. You know what God's telling us? Stop sinning. And protect yourself with the light. What's the light? Let's see if you're right. Turn to John chapter 1. Not important what I say. I can tell you, I can take a guess at who the light is, what the light is. But what's most important is the Word of God. What does God say? John chapter 1 verse 6. The Gospel of John. Chapter 1, verse 6, there came a man sent from God whose name was John the Baptist. He came as a witness to the testimony about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. Verse 9, there was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Who is him? Who's the light? This light that is coming will truly enlighten men. Well, let's turn to John chapter 3 and keep digging. See what Scripture says. John chapter 3, verse 19. A few pages to the right. Chapter 3, verse 19. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. At this point, the light's come. John 3:19, the light has come. But men rejected the light, love the darkness more, and they still do. Who's the light? John chapter 8. Keep digging. John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12, then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, this is Jesus talking. Verse 12, then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the light. The light has come. Jesus is the light. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. What do his followers do? Followers of Jesus Christ do not walk in darkness. They may step in it once in a while. Darkness, that is. But they don't wallow in it. They don't walk in it continuously. The followers of the light, followers of Jesus, walk in the light. That's what characterizes his followers. Jesus is the light. Turn to John chapter 12. Let's learn some more about this light. Jesus is the light. John chapter 12, verse 46. This is Jesus talking again. You look at verse 44, and Jesus cried out and said, down in verse 46, it's still Jesus talking, I have come as light into the world. Why did Jesus come as light into the world? So that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Jesus is the light. And why did he come? To free people from the darkness. Light exposes darkness, they're incompatible. Light protects. We're to lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put on Jesus. Jesus is the light. Why do we put on the armor of light? Why do we put on Jesus? Be free from the darkness. So that we do not have to walk in darkness. In other words, so that we can walk in the light. Light protects. The day is near. Live with urgency. Stop sinning. How about verse 13? Back to our text in Romans chapter 13. You with me? Romans 13, 13. More let us. Actually, here we go again. Just going to emphasize, reiterate, so we don't miss it. The night is almost gone. The day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Verse 13, let us behave properly. Let us behave properly. Let us stop sinning. Let us obey God. Just like back in verse 11, let us do this, all that, all the stuff from chapter 13 and chapter 12, all those instructions on how to be and what to do as we apply righteousness. Let us behave properly, as in the day, as in the daytime, as in the light. As if every act is exposed. You know what? Because it will be. Ecclesiastes 12:14, God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or bad. Ecclesiastes 12:14. Let us behave properly as in the day. Listen, dirty deeds are done in the dark. Not in the light. People get all excited about the night life, not the day life. It's the night life that attracts. No one likes to sin openly, do they? Sin usually happens in the dark, in private, behind closed doors. That's why everybody gets excited about the night life instead of the day life. In contrast, we, as children of God, true born-again Christians, we are to live in the light.
walk in the light. Light protects. The day is near. Live with urgency. Stop sinning. Let's look at the rest of verse 13. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in. There's several things listed here. And I'll be frank with you. It would be easy for me just to skip on over this part, wouldn't it? I love you too much for that. I love you enough to give you all the truth, not just part of it, not just the easy truth. So are you ready for this? Let's look at them. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing. What's carousing? Partying. Reveling. It's that spring break type behavior that our society has grown to accept. That footloose and fancy free, cutting loose. It's that boys and girls going wild type behavior. You know what I'm talking about. That's carousing. God says it's sin. Don't do it. Christians don't walk in the darkness. Not in carousing and drunkenness. That's an easy one. Drunkenness is being drunk. Scripture says, do not get drunk. Now, I'll be honest with you, there's a fine line between drinking and drunk, isn't it? And different states draw that line at different places, don't they? I would recommend don't even drink then. That's my recommendation. God says don't get drunk. Christians walk in the light, not in drunkenness. What's next? Not in sexual promiscuity. What's that? That's people who aren't married acting like they are married physically. That's what it is. Physical contact in any fashion that resembles being married. Making out, caressing body parts, sexual intercourse. All of that is off limits. Sin. God says don't do it. That's the reality. It's funny, in the King James Version, they translate this Greek word. Instead of sexual promiscuity, in King James Version, they translate it into the English word chambering. We don't use that word anymore, do we? Chambering, the activities that only take place in a man and a husband and wife's bedroom chambers. That kind of stuff. We call it today getting hooked up, don't we? I'm not very hip, you know that. I haven't been hip in 30 years. But I believe when I hear the word hooked up these days, in the context I hear it, I think chambering, sexual promiscuity. And the reality is don't do it. And our society says it's okay. Our society promotes it. The world is dark. And we're to live in the light. That's the contrast. Sensuality. What's that? That's leading anyone on sexually. Literally, listen to this. It means being provocative in behavior or appearance. Being provocative in a behavior or appearance. Flirting and teasing. You don't do that unless you're doing it with your spouse. It's cut and dry, isn't it? God says if you do that, it's a sin. The way you dress, alluring sexually, sexually attractive, you don't do that unless you're doing it just for your spouse and not for the rest of the world to see. Sensuality. It's not the first time we've dealt with this particular topic in Romans, is it? And I'm going to commend a few people, nameless. I'm not going to name names, but I know of two ladies, and I use the term ladies deliberately. At the first go around, they made some lifestyle, some changes in their wardrobe. Because they love Christ. They want to obey Christ. They didn't show off their body parts with their dress. They changed. I commend them for it. That's what we all need to do. Make the changes. Adjust to God's standards. I pray that we all will. As we lay aside sin, as we seek to please God more than please ourselves, as we love God more than we love sin, we make changes. We do the adjusting. That's spiritual growth. Hard-heartedness is saying, forget about it. I'll do what I want to do. That's old-fashioned Bible stuff. Nope. It's current-day God stuff. God wants us to be obedient. Strife and jealousy. Deeds also done secretly. Things we keep to ourselves, at least maybe only known to our friends and confidants. We are to behave that way. We are to walk in the light. That's what God expects. We're to put off, lay aside, get rid of sin. What else does God want from us? In fact, he expects more from us. Not just to stop sinning. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And I realize our time is running away from us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. God expects more from us. We're to walk in the light. But God expects more from us as born again, true Christians, than simply walking in the light. Let's look at Ephesians 5, 11. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of what? Of darkness. We're children of light. But instead, even what? Expose them. Get out of town. Are you telling me we have to do that? I mean, it's one thing just to not sin, but you want us to expose sin? Light exposes darkness. We're followers of Jesus Christ, the light. We're children of light. And yes, Ephesians 5:11 tells you and me that we are expected by God to expose sin. That's a little offensive, isn't it? But it's an offensive move, all right. That's what God expects. Light exposes darkness. I was in a gymnasium a while back. After hours, just talking to some folks. Some kids were playing basketball. And this gymnasium was at a Bible college. In come a little college, male and female. They sit down over in the corner and they start chambering. You get my drift. And man, I couldn't just keep quiet. So I had a little brief conversation with the young man about what God expects. He just blew me away as some old-fashioned, unhip guy. That's my job. That's your job. How will the world know that all those commercials on TV are wrong unless we tell them? All those billboards and all those magazines and all the marketing junk that gets shoved down our throats. How will they know? They don't know God's word. They live in the dark. They're not children of light. We are. And we are to expose the dark. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. We'll close with this because of time. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 14. Jesus talking. I love it when Jesus talks, man, don't you? I got one of them Bibles that got red lettering in it when Jesus speaks, and I don't know, something about the red letter. I know it's Jesus talking. I just get even more attentive. So let's give Jesus some attention here. Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Man, think about when Jesus was saying this. Light's a big deal. You ever lived somewhere with no electricity? I have. It's a missionary in Africa. Man, I remember that 3 months in Tanzania in that little tent, all seven of us. No running water, no electricity. We had matches and the lamps. And what a difference that little lamp made when the sun went down. Because when the sun went down, there was no light in sight. Light is a big deal. I always think of that movie Castaway. Tom Hanks, you see that movie? And I know he's trying to start that fire in that island. You remember that? And you can just feel his pain. And then he finally gets rescued, you know, and he's back in the hotel room or something. He just flicks a little lighter and the flame turns on. Light's a big deal. We are the light. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives the light to all who are in the house. And here's verse 16. Children of light, here's what Jesus says, "Let your light shine." Where? Before men. Those men who live and walk in darkness. "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may" what? See. See your good works, not your dirty deeds done in the dark. And do what? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. We're to be lights of the world. And those who live in darkness will see. And maybe their eyes will be opened. You remember the little children's song? You know the song, 1920. Harry Dixon Lowe's, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." You know I'm not gonna sing it. "Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine." Light exposes darkness. Live with urgency. The day is near. Let's stop sinning and start shining. Let's pray.